Hello, this is Greg Strickland from Louisa Christian Church, and welcome to Real Faith Today. On behalf of our congregation, we hope that you are inspired by our music team and encouraged and challenged by today's message from our pastor, Vincent Klug.
Thank you, Greg, and happy Father's Day to you. And on behalf of Louisa Christian Church, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Thank you for your love and sacrifice. May God bless you. Well, today's message is a message that was preached earlier. It was preached on February 23rd. Is God in heaven with a lightning bolt waiting for us to sin? Who's next? Or is he in heaven with so much grace and goodness, he can't wait to give it to us? So when he offers us application, like today's text, what he has in mind is grace. So don't shoot the messenger. So, we're in Colossians chapter 3, 18 through 21. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. And do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. So this text has been used in the destructive ways throughout history. It's been used for dominance and abuse. And we're going to talk today about, I think, we're going to try to get to the heart of what Paul is talking about. Earlier this week, I was in line at the grocery store. And you know how in the 70s and 80s, I was really young in the 70s, but in the 70s, you remember when people had tattoos? It was like someone who was in Hell's Angels, right? A motorcycle guy. In the 70s, if someone had a tattoo, you did not want to meet them in an alley. Well, now you can be in line at the grocery store and the cashier's got tattoos, right? So I saw this lady's left arm and it looked like it was covered with one really big tattoo. And I said, is that a tattoo? And she said, no, it's a compression. It's for my arm. But she goes, but I got one under here. And she lifted it up and it said, respect. You know, that's a big issue in our culture. There is a respect shortage in our culture. And I think that's why we struggle with verses like this. We all want to be respected. There is not enough respect to go around. I remember my parents used to sing a song to each other. I don't know if many of you might have heard it. Has anyone ever heard the song? I don't know what it's called, but it goes, there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, there's a hole, right? And it goes all the way around, they come back, and there's still a hole. It was really cute to hear, but how frustrating. You know, the bucket never gets fixed. This is what happens when we go at each other competing for respect. I have known and I have witnessed couples who, throughout their whole life, the one would withhold love for his wife because he didn't feel respected. And the woman would withhold respect because she didn't feel loved. So there's different options that your relationships, different roads that you'll go down in your relationships. The heart of these scriptures go back to Philippians chapter 2, which we read as the call to worship. It begins because these scriptures are really about humility, and scripture's explanation of humility is so different than how we picture humility. When I think of humility, when I'm not in the Word of God, I think, oh, somebody who really thinks low of themselves. I'm no good. I'm a nobody. I'm humble. You know, I have humility. That's not what's portrayed here. Paul starts out with Philippians 2:3. He says, let nothing be done through strife or self-promotion, because that comes from vainglory, is the actual Greek. There is a glory deficiency in the human heart. We call it respect. We call it honor. The Bible calls it glory. We have this need to be filled. And we can see it in other people. And if we're really mature, we can see it in ourselves. Sometimes we have more anxiety than we should because we're too self-conscious. We go into a public situation and we got our eyes focused on ourselves. What am I doing? Is someone sitting with me? Is someone talking to me? There's that self-consciousness that causes anxiety. There's a drivenness to get that respect, that honor. If only I can get this done, if I only can make this much money or be this successful, to the point of neglecting relationships and family and spouses. This scripture is so important and so relevant to our lives. There's people who can't help but take things personal. You can't disagree with them, or they're mad at you. What is that? That's a need for respect, a need for honor. We have a gaping hole. We need to be right. We can't take advice. We need to have it our way. When Dana and I travel to Fredericksburg, she likes to take the way that goes straight north up Route 20. And I like to take 208 Courthouse Road. And then she'll point out that, well, on the GPS, it says that, you know, Route 20 is 3 minutes shorter. Well, once you hit Route 3, do you know how many lights are on Route 3? Does the GPS calculate red lights? Yes. No, it doesn't. So, our daughter's coming to visit with us. I'm like, don't listen to your mother. Take 208. What is that? That need to be right. I want to be the one who's right. One of these times, I'm going to take both ways and time it. You know, this focus on self, this need is something we need to look at, this need to be right. Even people, you know, we think about people who are all full of themselves and narcissistic, and we're all self-absorbed. But what about people that are always, oh, I'm no good, I'm a nobody? What is that? That's self-absorption too. Just playing a different role, maybe a martyr or a victim role. People who are defensive all the time. The bottom line is we have a focus on ourselves because we have a vacuum inside of us that needs respect. We all have this need for respect. You know, I think about my grandkids. If I don't give them attention, or Dane and I are busy, we don't give them attention, they will get attention. They will. They will make sure they get attention, even if it's bad attention, right? Children have it. We're born with it. You can see it in your children or in your grandkids, this need for attention. And if we don't give them attention and we discipline them, we're still giving them attention and they'll take it. And our discipline won't work because we're sending the wrong message. The only way you get attention is when it's negative. At least they're going to get that and they'll take that instead of getting none. This hole is huge. Look how it's built into the universe. Throughout Scripture, you could see this theme. God created the heavens and the earth, and he made Adam, man and woman in his image. He created them equal. Amen? All right? And then he said, it is good. All right? And then you have throughout the whole Testament people looking to please God. And then we get to Jesus. But then you get to Jesus, you can see it so obviously. What's the first thing that you hear God say about Jesus? He's going to get baptized by John the Baptist. This is him coming out as the Son of God. And From heaven, a voice comes, and he doesn't say, here's the mighty, here's my son, the mighty God. He doesn't talk about Jesus in any other way, except he says, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. What is that? There's affirmation. What is the ultimate thing we want to hear at the end of our days? The scripture presents a parable and stories about the ultimate thing we want to hear when we meet the Lord. Do you know what it is? Well done, good and faithful servant. It's throughout the Bible, this need, this hole to be filled. So here's where it gets difficult. If empty glory is an endless pursuit of finding respect or glory, humility is when you have that hole filled. If empty glory is a constant search to be noticed, to get attention, to be right, to meet goals, we're living our lives exhausted because we're always trying to meet that need, then humility is being filled. How does that work? Well, if you're humble and you're filled, do you need to be noticed? No. Do you need to get credit? No. Do you need to get respect all the time and be right all the time? No. That's how this all ties together. It's not about thinking low of ourselves. It's a deliverance from self-focus. It's a deliverance from self-absorption. It's a deliverance from self-defensiveness. It's a deliverance from exhaustion. That's what the scriptures offer us this morning. No more anxiety about because we're self-conscious. No more driven to the point of hurting our relationships. And that's going on. And maybe it's going on with people here. Maybe even if you're retired, I don't know. You can see it in taking things personal and a need to be right and someone who can't take advice and who can't own flaws or shortcomings. Now, hopefully I've done a good job of presenting the case that we're all driven to have this hole filled. So when we hear a verse like, women, submit, we're like, what? Wait, no way, baby. Husbands, give your life for your wives. Put her first in all things. So what about me? What about me? When you're filled, you don't have that struggle. The scriptures start to make sense. You turn a relationship around. This is so important. I remember hearing a comedian say, you know, I don't know why people are still getting married. With the divorce rate like 50, 60%, if I was in an airplane and I was about to do parachuting and someone said you have a 60% survival rate, I'd go sit down. Right? We need to get this message and take it and share it and absorb it and model it. So we have someone who's modeled it for us, and it's Jesus Christ. Point two, Christ's mission of submission. Paul said, have this mind when you're dealing with other people, the same mindset Jesus had, who being in the very nature God, which that is like, we hear that, and it's like, I grew up living next to a train and airplanes flying by in Chicago. You know, if I had visitors come in from, you know, family from the suburbs or whatever, like, man, there's so much noise here. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I quit hearing them. We quit hearing some of these verses. Jesus was God. What? If that's true, we better pay attention, right? Being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something he needed to hold on to. He didn't need it for his own advantage. He didn't cling to it. I'm God, you know. Verse 7 says, he made himself nothing. He made himself nothing. He took on the nature of a servant, God. He was made as a human. And found himself, he became in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself to death on a cross. That is a mission of submission, if I've ever heard one. Jesus started high. Jesus started full. Jesus was full of glory, and he gave it away. Why? Well, Paul ends the section by saying, and then God highly exalted him. There's our precedent. That's how this works. These scriptures are not easy, and submission is a difficult concept. I want you to think about a couple things. Christ submitted to the Father. He did God's will. Christ submitted to the Romans. He let them take him. He submitted to the religious leaders, self-righteous leaders who were false and fake. He gave himself away. Tim Keller wrote, Christ started high and came low so that we who start low can be lifted high. Let me say that again. Christ started high and came low so that we who start low could be lifted high. He had all the glory and he gave it away so that we without glory, we have a glory hole, will be filled. The gospel is about forgiveness of sins, yes, but it's also about meeting the human heart's greatest needs.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger here. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry. Hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I'll stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead
And the Lord has extended his precious hand to us. He has taken hold of us through the gospel. And now, part two of our message. The gospel is about forgiveness of sins, yes, but it's also about meeting the human heart's greatest needs. Jesus was full of glory and emptied himself so that we could be full of glory. The way up is by going down, but only if you're full. We need to be filled, which is point three, our mission of submission. Jesus' road to respect and glory was by submitting to the Father and giving up everything, all his rights. What makes us think ours would be different? As Philippians 2:5 says, in your relationships with one another, have the mindset of Christ Jesus. This isn't new. Some of you guys have read the Gospels. You've heard things Jesus has said. If you want to find your life, you'll lose it. Okay. Take up your cross and follow me. He who exalteth himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be. This is throughout the scriptures. Jesus is always telling us stuff like this. Don't pursue yourself. Don't pursue blessings even. He says, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts, not for blessings, but for righteousness. And then you'll be blessed. The world does not work the way everybody outside these doors tells us it works. You need to buy this. You need to look at this. You need to look by, you need to own this. We're bombarded with these messages. If our mission is submission, we need to be filled. Are you filled? There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza. Dear Liza, we need to fill it. We need to be delivered from our preoccupation with self. We need to be delivered from all the extra anxiety and the things that take us off course. How are we filled? 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew not sin became sin, so that we would become the righteousness of God. You know what that means? That means God looks upon us with the approval our heart longs for. It's a gift. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to worry so much about what will people say. What if people gossip about me? What did so-and-so say about me? We don't have to be always have such thin skin when we're filled. We need approval. Modern psychology will say, no, just approve yourself. Self-affirmation. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You'll end up narcissistic. Who knows the road? You need approval. You're made for it. God made you with this hole because he has it for you. He's saying, I see you as righteous because of what Jesus did. The approval's yours. Now, believe it. And this part's important. Remind yourself of it. Remind yourself. Remind yourself. And thank him for it. When you're feeling doubt, remind yourself. When you're feeling anxious, remind yourself. And I don't mean to be down on anxiety and some of the things we struggle with. Sometimes it takes medication and psychologists and psychiatrists. Those things are important. But I'm talking about the anxiety that's not necessary. The burdens we carry that we don't have to carry. We have God's approval. We have glory. We have the respect of God. Who cares about anyone else? And when you have it, you can actually not be so self-absorbed. We can just let ourselves go. I'm ready. I want to grow in this area. So in closing, humble people can submit and put others first, not because they're lowly or pathetic, but because they're filled with glory. The scriptures say that we have the assurance of glory. What's the point of it all? Here's a couple applications for you. Fill yourself with glory by believing and remembering. In your relationships, don't strive to make yourself known. Know that you're full and put other people first. Now, Dana and I take the scripture literally here. And I know not all of you do. And one thing about this church is we can agree to disagree. It's okay if you don't agree with us on this. But all I'll say is it works for us. I have an amazing wife, and she's self-sacrificial for others. Right, honey?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Last point. Do good deeds when nobody's looking. Why is that important? Guess whose approval you're getting? Nobody's but God's. One day, my friends, every tongue will confess, every single one, every atheist, every agnostic, everyone will confess one way or another that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, and because of him, we share in that glory.
On behalf of Louisa Christian Church, we hope that today's message inspired you and brought you closer to God. We thank our sponsors for today's broadcast, and we thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. Special thanks to our music team, Butch and Sharon Duke, Derek and Sarah Waller, Catherine Neese, Mike Clevenger, and Dana Clue for sharing their gifts of music with us. If you would like to attend one of our worship services, we are scheduled to worship together again on Father's Day, June 21st. Please call us for more details at 540-848-6441 or visit us at our website at louisachristianchurch.org. That's louisachristianchurch.org. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.